Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Cuando vas a JCPenney a comprarle un regalo a papá con tu cupón de 20% extra, no solo le estás comprando un regalo a papá con 20% extra, le estás demostrando que su esfuerzo como papá valió la pena. La prueba está en el recibo. Sí, es JCPenney. Cupón válido hasta el 15 de junio en selección de estilos. Aplican algunas exclusiones. Detalles en la tienda o jcp.com.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. What are you doing today? I feel like I just walked out of a tornado.
I know. I can feel your energy. It's
I think I'll get into it more on the Patreon slumber party, but I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah, save it for the slumber party.
How's your day?
My day's good. I think we're going to the Kings game tonight. Probably awesome. Go straight from here.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
How early do they start? Oh, we're here for a while, though.
We're here for a while today.
We're recording a lot.
Yeah, but the game starts at 7, but to get down to downtown park and then get in and get to your seats, like, you have to give yourself a lot of time.
Itty-bitty houses for itty-bitty people. If you know, you know. So today we're talking about the very first Girls Next Door Valentine's episode. I think probably the only one. It's called Hearts of Fire. It's all about Valentine's Day and Mardi Gras, which was the party we had at the mansion at the time. And this episode first aired on April 22nd, 2007. Every time I say 2007, I'm like, we're so close to the end.
We really are.
It's nuts. And the number one song around that time was The Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani. And that's one of those songs that when I hear, like, it brings me back for sure to this time. The number one movie was Night at the Museum. And we start this episode off with some very cheerful music and me in Mary's office. And I feel like season three is like the season of starting off with me in Mary's office, saying something to Mary, but really I'm explaining something to the audience. Like, it's a big device that we're leaning on.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not like I hate it. I mean, it's fine, whatever. It sets the scene. It sets what we're doing. It sets the episode up. But doesn't it seem a little redundant that every episode seems to be starting this way?
Well, it's out of nowhere, you know, like if it would have started that way in season one, we'd be like, okay, this is like borderline narration, but it's like all of a sudden they decided this is a really good way to do it. And I don't dislike it or anything. And it certainly makes me feel more involved, but
why don't they try it with a different starting point? Mm-hmm. Like there's other ways to start this, you know, like, I mean, it could be anything, but it is weird how it's just all of a sudden a thing.
Yeah. I'm wearing a blonde mafia shirt.
I noticed that. And I was like, yes. And you ask about Captain Bob and it makes me wonder if this is when he started having some of his health problems.
I bet so, because it was happening a couple years before we left, I think. And like I said, this is close to the end.
Yeah.
But I think they kept that in there, too, because it's the Valentine's episode, and that's Mary's significant other.
You're right. That is why, but that's not why you're asking.
Yeah.
Because he was having, like, the health issues.
Yeah, he had a surgery, and this is so freaky to me, because he had a surgery, something with his throat, and I guess the doctors did something accidental to, now he couldn't eat.
Right.
He had to like feed himself through a hole in his stomach.
Yes, the rest of his life, you guys.
I'm like, how is that even a thing? How is that not reversible? Can't they sue? Like,
I don't know.
It just blows me away that that's a possibility.
I know.
Yeah, very sad.
It was sad. And then that was the beginning of the end for him, too.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, sadly, it was just kind of like he lost his will to live almost. And when he finally passed, I don't even remember exactly what it was he passed of. It was just like complications or whatever.
He was in and out of the hospital so many times and it felt like this was going to be it. And then he would recover, but he wasn't really recovered, but enough to come home. And I swear, like, eating is so important in life and, like, enjoying foods
and
everything. It would
kill my spirit, too. Like, I fucking love to eat.
Yeah, and he just couldn't be a part of any of that. And so every party revolves around, like, food and, and drinks and stuff. He couldn't even drink because it would make him choke on it.
Yeah.
He had to, like, take little tiny sips.
Yeah, that was hard to even kind of witness.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one of the first things you say is, Valentine's Day is coming up. And I look forward to it because it's a kind of a fun holiday for all of us together.
Yes. And that's going to be a theme in this episode because I can tell by the things I'm saying that I'm bracing myself. Because last season, if you guys remember, my most embarrassing episode was the Age of Aquarium episode, which was all about Hefs and my anniversary. And I just felt so embarrassed by how that whole thing went down. And I know the show was always trying to get like super romantic stuff from me and everything. And I just didn't want to do it. I was bracing myself for a similar embarrassment. And it is a different situation because my and Hef's anniversary was about me and Hef, even though we celebrated with everybody. But Valentine's Day was always about everybody. And I knew that. And it was about that for me too. But I can just tell by the way I'm talking, I'm like bracing myself for that potential embarrassment. So I'm already like paving the way, like, no, it's about everybody and it's about all of us. And I like hanging out with the girls almost more than I like hanging out with Hef, you know?
Right.
So it's very much a thing. And I tell Mary that we want to go to Trader Vic's for Valentine's dinner. And we've talked about Trader Vic's on here before. It was my favorite restaurant and Hef's favorite restaurant. So it made sense. Not only for our anniversary, but for Valentine's Day. And I miss Trader Vic's so much. They're bringing one back.
Yeah, I heard that.
And they say they want to do it the same as it was and like bring it back the same way. But I hope that's the case because they've opened other Trader Vic's. Like there was one at Planet Hollywood for a while, but like the food was not the same. The vibe wasn't the same. Like you really have to have that exact food, those exact drinks, that vibe, and don't try to make it anything else.
Right. No, I agree. And again, you tell Mary that even though it's a romantic holiday, I like having the other girls with us. So it's like two call outs already here. But I made a note too. And I said, I wrote, I did too. Like, and not only just like the other girls, as in like you and Kendra, of course, are going to be there. But like, I wanted everybody to come and join us that's in town. Like all the girls from across the street. And like, I wanted it to be everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal and just everyone, you know. And I felt like that's the way it should be.
In that situation.
Right, yeah. I don't invite Crystal to my Valentine's now.
Yeah, but it was genuinely more fun for us to have the other girls. I think it would have been a lot more boring if it was just me, you, Kendra, and Hef. It would have been, if it was just the four of us, it would have felt like, okay, what's the temperature on all of our relationship right now? Like, that's kind of more how it felt without, like, the other girls there.
Yeah. And then you start talking about how you have a lot of friends who are getting married.
Yeah, which was true. Like some of my high school friends were married at that point. My best friend Ashley was married. Tiffany Fallon had just got married. Carmella was about to get married, like in like 2 months from when we're filming this. So we were excited about that. My sister was getting married. So that was definitely true. That was happening for a lot of people. And I say to Mary, my sister's getting married in Jamaica in July and I'm going to go. And did you notice, like, when I say, and I'm going to go, there's, like, a little bit of defiance or a little bit of, like, and I'm really standing my ground on this boundary. And I'm like, how fucking sad and stupid that it has to be that way about my sister's wedding. Like, of course I'm going to go to my sister's wedding.
No, but it did have to be like that because we were denied going to Tiffany Fallon's wedding because it was in Mexico. So there was, you had every reason to believe that for some reason, Hef would be like, no, you guys can't go to this or you can't go to it.
Yeah. So I was really like, you know, look at me. I have this bound. I'm going to my sister's wedding no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what the show's filming or what. But like how stupid that like obviously
I
should be going to my sister's wedding.
Of like, course.
Give me a fucking break.
Right. But I definitely caught it.
Yeah,
I caught that tone for sure.
I wanted to say like I don't really check YouTube comments anymore because they tend to be not necessarily like the worst but just and there's a lot of good comments on there too but like people who've kind of caught or late to the party and maybe haven't heard everything we've had to say. So it's just like stuff I don't need to be reading. But there was this long ass YouTube comment left on one of the videos because I went to the app to go do something and they'll show you like the most recent comment. And there was this, somebody wrote a fucking book under one of the videos and it didn't really have anything to do with the video, but they had this whole like treatise on how like, well, you know, the reason the situation was different between Kendra and Holly was because Kendra was asked to move in right away on first sight at a party, which that just goes to show they don't know how it really went down.
God, and it just goes to show how we constantly have to keep correcting things. Even though we say it a million times, like there's still people who don't get it.
So they're like, so Kendra had leverage, but because Holly wanted to move in, she had no leverage. And if she would have just sat down and explained that to Hef, she would have been allowed to do more things too. I mean, they said it was like a longer thing than that.
And how does this person even think they know anything about anything?
Because everybody thinks they know everything. They fill in the blanks in their head. They see like one episode and then they think they know everything. But I just want to say to everybody, I did ask him to do stuff and make it known that it was important to do certain things and say that certain things weren't fair and try to explain things. But I'd get my head bit off. He'd start freaking out. He'd start crying. He'd say that I was going to give him another stroke. Like any low blow thing he could say when I was just bringing up something normal. Like I'm not even the one being emotional or freaking out. And, you know, over time, you know, things would like I would get, you know, like my spirit would kind of die and I would not ask for as much. And then as the show went on and I got more confident, I would ask for more. But do you guys really think I didn't fucking ask?
Right.
Like I wasn't just sitting there like just accepting orders.
Right.
So I don't know. That was annoying to me. And also, you don't just explain things to Hef. He's the one who thinks he's in charge. He thinks he knows all. Like,
oh, that's going to come up real quickly in this episode.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to think of. It would have had to be something that had to do with like the studio or business where I successfully was able to say, oh, no, if we did it this way, it would be this. Like you couldn't say it about like a personal life thing. He'd freak out on you. It would just like you couldn't just explain things to him. I tried many times.
Yeah.
Can't tell him anything.
Right. So all this talk about weddings and you start talking about what you want your wedding to look like. With yeah. Hef. So getting married at the mansion. And then doing it all over again at Disney World.
Yeah. And Hef walks in almost immediately when I start talking. And I just keep going. And of course, like, I would have loved to be married. And I would have loved to do some of those plans and stuff. But also, I'm saying it this way and, like, unloading all the stuff. Because I know it's funny for the show.
Yeah.
And I want people to know that because I feel like a lot of times people can't tell when I'm, like, playing along or being funny. Because there's still people out there who think I'm a clone.
Oh, right. That's right. So, forgot.
Yeah,
forgot
we forgot clone. About my clone status.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Cuando vas a JCPenney a comprarle un regalo a papá con tu cupón de 20% extra, no solo le estás comprando un regalo a papá con 20% extra, le estás demostrando que su esfuerzo como papá valió la pena. La prueba está en el recibo. Sí, es JCPenney. Cupón válido hasta el 15 de junio en selección de estilos. Aplican algunas exclusiones. Detalles en la tienda o jcp.com.
And you're telling Mary about how you can stay at Cinderella's castle now and they have a honeymoon suite. Or it would be the perfect honeymoon suite.
Yeah, which I have never stayed inside the Disney World Cinderella castle yet. That's still something on my bucket list and I need to figure it out. I was thinking of putting it on my vision board.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it happens.
Yeah, because we definitely stayed at the one, well, it's not there anymore, but the one at Disneyland for your wedding.
The Dream Suite?
Yeah, we got ready in there.
No, it's still there.
What? I thought they took it out.
No, they just added that extra room for 21 Royal. And when you book a meal at 21 Royal, they take you into the Dream Suite and like give you a tour before the meal.
Oh.
So, but it's still there.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought they took it out.
Mm-hmm. It's still there.
Yeah. I was like, oh, we got to do something and now it's not there anymore. Yeah. That's amazing. No, but I'm actually more glad that it's still there.
Yeah, it's so cute and so special.
It's really cute. And just to fill everybody in, when Holly got married, we did get ready in that suite. And spent the whole day and evening in there. All her stuff was in there.
I loved when we had like our balcony moment with Clarice the chipmunk.
Yes.
Because like Bridget knows she was there during the whole planning process. But like Sue, who does the Disney wedding, she's so amazing. And she was just coming up with all these ideas like, do you want to order like a custom character? Or like what rare character do you want? And I wanted Clarice the chipmunk. There's this one old Chippendale cartoon called Two Chips and a Miss, and they have like a female Chippendale character, and she's a character at Disneyland, but you never see her. Her name's Clarice, and she's my fave. So we had her, and we were like all on the balcony in like our pink robes, like in the middle of the park, and that must have looked so funny to everybody.
I know, we're robes, no makeup on. We hadn't done hair makeup yet, and we're just like with like some obscure character, like.
You know who acknowledged me that day when I posted that was Disney Moi.
Who's Disney Moi?
Okay, Disney Moi is a Saudi prince who is obsessed with Disney. I've never met this guy. I'm not trying to get at him, but he's obsessed with Disney, and supposedly he owns part of Disneyland Paris because it was struggling for so many years and he like bought in.
Oh.
But he's obsessed with the characters and he orders custom characters all the time. Like he had like the Cheshire Cat created because they didn't used to have a Cheshire Cat. He'll have like special custom outfits for the characters at Disneyland Paris. And Clarice is one of his favorites. So when I posted with Clarice, he was like, oh, congratulations on your wedding. It's great to see Clarice or something like that. And I was like, oh, my God, I got acknowledged by Disney Moi.
That's so funny.
Because he's like this mysterious character that like I kind of follow and am intrigued by.
I did not know his name was Disney Moi, but I've heard you and Ashley talk about him before. So yeah. As soon as you said who he was, I was like, oh, yeah, I know who that person is. That's so funny.
So I'm talking crazy about my wedding, and they speed me up to be motor mouth, and they do my favorite gag, which is they freeze on Hef, and they go, do-do-do-do, and they focus in, and it's so funny. And then...
And he asks, will I be there?
I know, which is a funny joke, but I said something about, I think I said our wedding, so it's not as funny. If I would have said my wedding, said, oh, will I be there? That would have been extra funny, but anyway, it's a funny joke. And and they cut in him like a fake, like, gulp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is funny. And they cut to like a confessional of me, which is filmed at the bunny house. I don't like that confessional.
You said that before.
Yeah, because I love my typical confessional in the living room, because it's just very like classic and old school. And I think that fits my character. But this one, like the way the light reflects off the window, it looks like there's a snowy mountain range behind me, which makes no sense for where we live. And then like the hair from my wig is all disheveled and it's just not my favorite. I was probably enthusiastic about doing it at the time because I loved the bunny house so much, but I don't like the finished product.
I begged for my interviews to be moved over to the bunny house instead of my room.
Well, that would be cute for you, especially like, I guess people were living in that room, but like the hot pink wall one.
Right. They wouldn't do it. They would not do it.
Huh. That's weird.
I think Kevin was just adamant that he had it in his head that it had to be in my room with all my stuff. But I think I told you guys before, the reason why that I didn't like this is because it took so long. Like they would be in there for hours beforehand setting everything up. And we're talking like big camera equipment, lots of people in and out, like cords everywhere, booms, chair, like the whole room. And then they disassemble my whole room to set up the whole backdrop behind me the exact way they wanted it. I'm talking moving out like the nightstands and redoing everything. So it was a lot. And then the interview is forever. And all the lights that they brought in, and the lights are so hot, so my room would be boiling, and they'd want to leave the door wide open, but I have my dog and my cat, so, like, that was always a problem. We'd have to lock Gizmo into the, like, vanity area and take Winnie to your room, and then all the breakdown after it's all done. So hours setting up, hours doing the interview, then it's done, and then I got to, like, all these people are still in my room while they're cleaning up, and then nothing ever just goes back perfectly right. So then after they're done, I got to go back and put everything back together again. And
You know what would have been cool is if they would have taken one of the rooms at the Playmate house and each corner would have had like a little set.
Yes.
For each of us. And they could just leave the equipment in there and just pop in. And that's where we would have done our interviews.
Trust me. I suggested this a million times. Because why are we wasting so much time setting up every single... Like, it should have just been set up like this in here. Where it's always just set up. I mean, there's a little adjusting that has to go on. But it's just set up and ready to go.
It would have been such a fun project to, like, make our little corners, too. Like, I know Kevin would have weighed in way... too much. It would have been more what he wanted than what we wanted.
Sure.
But still, it would have been cute and fun, and we would have had a good time with that, I think.
Yeah, I forget why I even went off on that tangent, but...
Oh, I think talking about filming at the Bunny House.
Oh, yeah, in your interview. But I get what you mean about the interview. It just looks very blown out from behind.
Totally.
It's, like, very bright.
Yeah,
there.
And there's something off about it. It just doesn't fit with the rest of the stuff.
But you say when Hef makes jokes about you guys getting married, you think he's warming up to the idea. And I don't even think it was a matter of warming up to the idea. I think in his head, you guys were going to get married for sure.
Well, I was going to ask you because at the end of the conversation, he goes, well, and they completely cut him off. And then they repeat the shot of him going, with the special effect sound. And call me crazy, but I think the reason they cut him off is because after well, I think he said something positive and encouraging, but that wouldn't have worked for that particular scene. It would have ruined the gag.
Yes.
So that's why they cut him off. And I was going to ask you, like, call me insane, but I know the joke was like, I'm desperate to get married and he's the confirmed bachelor and he never will. And why won't I get it through my
head? He's got three girlfriends, so not getting rid of him anytime soon.
So like, what are you doing? But I feel like, especially around this time, and I don't think I'm that far off because we started doing in vitro like only a few months after this. But I felt like, at least coming from the show, like things Kevin would say to me or certain producers, I felt like everybody was kind of rooting for it to happen and wanted it to happen and maybe thought, oh, this is how the show's going to end. Like that's going to be the finale or that's going to be the next phase of the show or something. I feel like... Like, I don't feel like in real life it was, like, this bad idea, really.
No. I would go a step further, even. I think everyone sort of just knew that that's how it was going to end.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean end. Like, it could have gone into a different kind of situation from there. It could have gone to what I've been saying from the start, how it should have ended anyway.
And just been, like, the world of what everybody's
like,
doing.
Nick and I doing this, and Kendra and Hank doing that, and you and Hef doing this, and how our worlds intersect for baby showers and bridal showers and parties and get-togethers and still all hanging out as, like, this one big, huge family now.
Yeah.
Where everybody has their significant other, everybody has their individual lives, but we all still get together and do stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think everyone thought that. So I think it could have gone two ways. It ends with Holly and Hef getting married and we're all there supporting it. Or it ends, it doesn't end. That's just kind of the end of Girls Next Door as it is.
Yeah, and I kind of think that's kind of part of the reason, like, everybody's always so perplexed, like, why would he marry Crystal and stuff? But I feel like that's kind of part of it, is he kind of already had it in his mind, like, that was going to be the next phase.
Yeah.
Like, when his sons were old enough that now the Playmates only want them, you know what I mean? And, you know, he's older, and, like, that was going to be the next, like, reinvention of his life, kind of.
Yeah. Well, and I know he was waiting. He couldn't, I don't even know the logistics of this, why it was, but he couldn't get married until the kids turned 18. Or he didn't want to until the kids turned 18 for whatever reason. I think it was like some sort of like divorce agreement thing or something. I don't know the details, but like
whatever
it was. I
don't really know either, but Mary told me she thought it was because Hef felt like if he fully like divorced Kimberly that she would like and still had the kids, that she would, like, keep asking for more money than he agreed to give her or something. Or he felt like if he gave her a settlement, she would just spend it all and then come back and, like, have leverage or something. So I mean, I don't know if that's true. That's just, like, Mary's speculation, but...
Yeah, so, like, who knows? But for whatever reason, personal or legal or whatever, he was waiting for the kids to turn 18 before he would get married again. So that was sort of, like, the hiccup going on. Or else I think it would have been, the engagement at least, would have been done... sooner, I think.
Yeah.
It would have been done on Girls Next Door for sure, I think.
Yeah.
That's my opinion of it.
And then I say in confessional, I don't care that Hef caught me talking about our wedding because he should just know what's in store for him in the future.
Yeah.
And I'm joking. I hope people can catch. That's my sense of humor. Although I don't, I mean, maybe it's because I'm on the spectrum or I'm not very funny, but people usually don't catch it. And they always think I'm dead serious with no nuance.
It's crazy because I just see it so clearly. And I know, well, we've been friends for a long time. Yeah. So I get your personality and everything. But I just see it so clearly as joking.
Yeah. And I remember like delivering that line and thinking, I'm really hitting a home run here.
Yeah,
like,
so
this
funny.
Is perfect for the show. I know. And clearly I'm not as funny as I think I am. But I mean, people like, whoa.
I have a funny that in commentary right here, we were talking about weird smells that we like. And I don't even know why it came up.
Play-Doh.
But yeah. Yeah.
I love smelling a Play-Doh.
Yeah, because I got you Valentine's Day Play-Doh. And you were like, I love the smell of it.
Just
and Kendra
thinking about
was
it
tripping
me so
out.
Happy.
Kendra
yeah.
was like, what do you mean you like the smell of Play-Doh?
It's the best.
It's definitely a distinct smell. And I wouldn't say that I love it or hate it. I just definitely know the smell.
You know in Harry Potter how like the love potion to each person smells like their three favorite smells?
No, I don't know.
That would be one of my three favorite smells.
The Play-Doh.
Yeah.
It's funny because Kendra says that she likes the smell of gas. And then we start talking about the smell of gas and you're not into it. Mm-hmm. And I say, I don't mind the smell of gas when it like initially starts pumping, like that official first smell. But then once it's pumping, I feel like it changes again.
Yeah.
And then I don't like it. But that initial first like turn it on, I like the smell. But she was like, oh, no, I love it. I love the smell of gas. And then we start talking about, I said, my thing is the smell of like a freshly printed book or like ink. Or like a magazine.
Yeah.
Or like
I know what you mean.
Certain felt pens and ink pens and stuff. And Kendra's like, oh, yeah, I'm into those too. But then a weird one comes up. Kendra says that she likes the smell of a skunk. And you said your mom
My mom
loves
does.
It.
No, we would smell in Alaska skunk cabbage, which smells exactly.
Oh, that's
skunk
a plant.
Cabbage. Yeah, it grows like on the side of the road. And it's valuable because that's what the bears eat. Mostly a lot of what the bears eat.
Oh.
And it smells just like a skunk. And, you know, most people don't like the smell, but my mom loves the smell of skunk.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. My other two favorite smells are Pirates of the Caribbean water.
Yes.
At Disneyland.
Yes. That's
and
distinct.
A fireplace, like a wood stove. Like when I step, this happens in my neighborhood in Vegas sometimes. Like I don't know who has a wood stove there, but I'll step outside and I'll smell the wood stove and I'm like, oh.
Like an actual stove you like the smell of? Or like just
the
a fireplace with actual
stove.
Wood in it?
Yeah.
See, Nick's mom's house smells like that because they have it. They don't they use it sometimes. But like even when if you just have one and you use it occasionally, like the house has a faint smell of it at all times, I feel like.
I
like you
that.
Always smell that kind of smell. It's a very homey smell.
Cozy, woodsy,
yes.
A little bit holiday-ish.
It's very holiday-ish
yeah.
to me. Like I always want it on at the holidays. I'm always like, well, the fireplace isn't on. Well, it's 80 outside. Still turn on the fireplace still. I still like
it. I love it.
I'm more of a, I love the smell of that too, but I'm more of a flip of the switch person because I just don't want to be in there like Hollywood in there and like lighting it and stuff. I'm like, just, I like the one with the little switch.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
So then it cuts to you doing Valentine crafts in your room.
It's not crafts. Those are my presents for you guys.
But the way you do it is crafty.
Yes. So the giant champagne glasses.
Did you notice? Like they do the funniest cut to Wednesday.
What about her?
It's just she's sitting there like really cute and stiff, but it looks like she's like bracing herself for something. And that's just so funny to me. I don't
oh,
know
God.
Why.
She's just watching.
Yeah.
She's
so
such
funny.
A good girl, just watching.
And you say Valentine's Day is one of your favorite holidays.
It's a big fat lie.
What?
That is the total.
I didn't expect that to be so dramatic.
Yes. Well, I watched that and I was like, what? And even in commentary, I talk about this. I don't even like Valentine's Day.
Did they just need you to say that?
I guess. Here's the thing. I like all holidays.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, I love getting into anything. Make up a holiday and I'll get into it with mm-hmm. you. Like, I love Valentine's decorations. I think they're really cute. But I feel like it's such a manufactured, stupid holiday. And I don't like how all of a sudden roses are 3 times as much and chocolates mm-hmm. are 10 times as much and dinner reservations are pre-booked weeks in advance or months in advance.
And there's like set menus and stuff.
Set stupid menus that I don't want to eat off of.
Yeah.
And like, I just don't, I would rather celebrate it the day after, the day before. Like, I don't even care about it. And Nick knows that about me. I'm like, do not even waste your money on bringing me flowers for Valentine. I almost said Thanksgiving. Don't even waste your time bringing me flowers for Valentine's Day, because I just feel like it's such a waste of money. Sometimes he still does.
Yeah.
But like, and I think it's sweet. It's, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't think the gesture is sweet mm-hmm. and stuff. And I also think that it sucks that it has to be like a certain day where people feel forced to do that. Like, you should just want to do that on a day.
Yeah.
Just because you're thinking of me and you love me and vice versa, you
yeah.
know, but not because, oh, shit, it's Valentine's Day and I better do something.
Yeah. Valentine's Day is a tricky one because I love the aesthetic of it.
Yes.
Love.
Yes.
But it's like you have to have a significant other. Like, I guess you don't have to because you could do Galentine's Day, which I hate that word.
I know.
Like the concept, hate the word Galentine's Day.
But that didn't used to be a thing.
I usually do stuff with my kids and, like, yeah. make them my Valentines and stuff.
Yeah.
But it just sucks that you kind of, like, have to have a significant other. Like, over the past 5 years, like, Zach and I were so off and on. Like, I don't even know. Am I having a Valentine's Day this year? Am I not? You know? So it's a lot of weird pressure. And you can't make it happen for yourself is what yeah. I don't like. Like, I love being independent and just relying on myself, and any other holiday I can make happen for myself. But Valentine's yeah. Day, it's like it's the 18th century again, and you're sitting around waiting for a boy to come make your life exciting.
Yeah, and I do feel like Galentine's Day has taken off, and that's become mm-hmm. a thing, which, thank God, because for people who are single, that's great. Or for
yeah.
women who are single, that's great. And I love the idea of doing it with your kids and stuff. Like, that's one thing that I feel like I'm missing out on. I would love to do, like, the little Valentines with
yeah.
kids or school and stuff like that. And baking the cupcakes to take. I don't even know if you can take those to class anymore, but, like, in my head,
yeah.
I would. So I love all of that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's definitely a lot of pressure. Pressure and, if you're single, pressure if you're in a relationship.
Yeah, and then there's the feeling of, like, it's great if you can focus on other people to celebrate Valentine's Day with, but there's still kind of in the back of your head, you know you're not doing it the way it's there's a void.
Yeah,
if you don't
I guess
have the
so.
Person.
I mean, I haven't been alone for a Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm doing it again for Valentine's Day. I'm always in a relationship.
Yeah.
So I obviously have a lot of friends who don't have something
yeah.
to celebrate Valentine's Day with, so I get it.
Yeah.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah.
It's not that exciting. It just feels forced to me, I guess. But the aesthetic, like, yes, I will decorate. I even go as far as doing a Valentine's Christmas tree, like full-blown 7.5-foot Christmas tree. Totally decorated for Valentine's. So I definitely get into it. I
yeah.
love baking a heart-shaped cake, mm-hmm. and as I'm going to do in this episode,
yeah.
I love doing all of that. But it's not because I'm like, oh, this is going to be so romantic and so
yeah.
sweet. It's because this is such a cute thing to decorate for.
Totally.
So yeah, this
is
when I heard myself say that, I was like on the floor going, what? What? Did I just say that because
funny.
I thought they wanted me to? Did they ask me to say it? Am I trying to just say why I'm so, and definitely not one of my favorites.
Yeah. And I do feel like they're doing a really good job. And I've noticed this in previous episodes too, making your room look very Valentine's.
You know what's funny? You say that because I feel like it looked more Valentine's in the last episode than it does in this episode.
Yeah, because it has, like, the bears behind you and, like,
yeah.
the flowers.
Yes, and this one I felt actually looks a little sparse.
Hmm.
Like, there's a purse. There's, like, empty space back there.
Yeah.
Usually they have it very cluttered and full of mm-hmm. things to see. This time I feel like it's very low-key and not as Valentine's-y as the previous episodes interviews.
Yeah.
Which is weird. And then I say Hef is definitely my Valentine, but so is Holly and Kendra. I think that not only are you trying to push this whole it's a group thing, but I think that the show kind of has like an agenda on that too, because like this is such an unconventional relationship. Mm-hmm. Like it's all four of them that is celebrating Valentine's together.
Yeah, like how do they do Valentine's? Kind of the same with the anniversary episode. Like, how do they do this all together? Yeah. Kind of a thing. Like they really need to explain.
And you know what's weird, but not weird, is it didn't feel weird to me at all.
Valentine's Day?
With the four of us being like a couple or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
More than a throuple, a quadruple, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't, like I know that that seems weird for Valentine's Day or for any relationship really, but it just didn't feel weird to me. Yeah. And it still doesn't, looking back on it, I'm like, it wasn't weird though. I know everybody's like, this is weird. And the whole weird factor is why they keep pointing it all out. But I didn't feel weird.
We were dealing with weirder things. Than Valentine's Day.
Maybe. And then in an interview, you say that Hef is romantic and it cuts back to your favorite episode.
I wrote gag in my notes. And then I say Hef is a romantic. So I think Valentine's Day is his favorite holiday, which is another thing where I'm like, how can that be his favorite? Like, I feel like his favorite would really have to be Christmas.
For sure.
And he's super into Halloween, too.
Yes.
I think maybe at one point in an interview or something, he was being quippy. And if somebody asked him his favorite holiday, he'd be like, oh, Valentine's Day. Because it goes with his, like, Casanova image.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that was really his favorite
holiday.
No
way. He loved Christmas.
I think I'm also character baiting a little bit because, like, you're Halloween. I'm Christmas. Kendra's Super Bowl. Hef can be Valentine's Day because he's the lover, you know?
Yeah, I guess
I think I'm
so.
Rolling with that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's really true that Valentine's Day is his favorite holiday.
Definitely not. So we're both lying here.
Yeah. Just deception.
And so we're back in Hef's office now, and Mary is pulling out, or she has pulled out all the Valentine's stuff, and she wants Hef to go and take a look at it. They have it all lined up in room 6. So just so you guys kind of have a little bit of a layout, the office is very close to room 6. So there's like two little step downs and you're in the offices. But room 6 is the last room in the hall before you go to those little steps. So that's really close. And it was a room that typically wasn't used by anybody anymore. Thank God.
Thank God.
But if girls were staying for the parties or somebody was, you know, I think actually in an upcoming episode, Kendra's mom is going to recover bedroom 6 and stuff. So it's used for, you know, friends and guests and stuff like that, but no more girlfriends in there.
And this scene is fascinating to me for a couple reasons. One, because I didn't really know, like, the behind the scenes of how he picks out the Valentine's gifts.
Oh.
So it was just kind of interesting to see. Like, I didn't know he was quite that involved. Like, I just kind of thought, like, Mary would ask me, oh, what do you girls want from the Playboy catalog? And then they'd put something together, and I didn't even know he knew what was in there.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But also, he gets kind of snippy in this scene.
Yes.
And it's not awful. It's not like he's throwing a fit at anybody or being really mean. But he gets kind of snippy, and you see that snippy, like, very condescending side of him when all anybody in the scene is trying to do is help and do something for him.
Yeah.
And he's being very rude and condescending. And I'm kind of surprised they left it in. I guess they left it in because it's not that bad. And it is kind of funny a little bit, but to watch. But it's a rare moment caught on film, I feel.
I don't even feel like it's funny. I do. It is very condescending, I feel like, because he doesn't even let Mary explain what she's trying to say.
Yeah, it's definitely not funny the way he's treating people. But I feel like if you have it in your mind and you only have like the viewer seeing him as like this funny old grandpa, if you truly believe that's the only facet of his personality down to his core, then it might come off a little silly. But you're right, it's not in real life.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Yeah, so I say in interview, Hef usually gets us the newest jewelry, the newest Playboy stuff. You know what's funny? And this is like so neither here nor there, but I'm pretty sure I said the newest, like Playboy's newest jewelry. And I feel like they cut the Playboy off and I say gets us the newest jewelry.
So people think we're really getting some luck shit over
yeah,
here.
The newest Playboy stuff. And it's always exciting because we love all that stuff. And we do. We mm-hmm. love the Playboy jewelry. We love the Playboy catalog stuff. But I feel like they kind of edited that a little bit for me to just be like the newest jewelry. As yeah. if we're getting like diamonds yeah. and, you know, all kinds of things
Which
like that.
Which definitely wasn't the case for Valentine's no. Day.
And Mary tells Hef that Holly picked out a lot of stuff from the Playboy catalog. And I just want to say thank God you did.
Was somebody else picking it out before? Who picked it out before?
Who knows who picked it out before? But I just know that before we started getting involved in kind of like the Christmas stuff and everything, remember all the weird like old lady trinkets mm-hmm. we would get?
Yeah, it would be really random stuff that didn't really make much sense.
Yeah, like glass hummingbirds that yeah. you just like set on
or
your
little jewel boxes, just like trinkets.
Yeah, jewel boxes that you couldn't fit anything yeah. in, but like a ring or an earring uh-huh. or something or pills. I don't know what you're trying
yeah,
to put in there.
Yeah, it was weird stuff.
Yeah.
It was very like Scully and Scully catalog, but not that nice.
It was like old lady central, like mm-hmm. somebody who just has like a lot of knickknacks sitting on the shelf yeah, and stuff and
totally.
Very fragile and don't touch this stuff kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, thank God Holly stepped in and was like, no, here's what we like in yeah. the catalog. This is what we actually want. Yeah, so he's definitely involved in helping pick it out. And Norma comes in and she's showing him like the boxes and how they're going to look when they're done. Because they did this thing where they drilled holes through the top of those heart shaped. Mm-hmm. They did the same thing every year. Drilled holes in the top of those boxes and then like tied down those little bears to it.
And didn't Norma do all that herself? Like, didn't she do all the bows and the bears?
Oh, I don't know.
I think she did.
Wow.
Yeah. They looked professional.
They did look professional. And they had the big bows and the bear. And mm-hmm. a lot of times back in the day, they were Beanie Babies. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I have all these like weird Beanie Babies. I don't think they're worth anything, mm-hmm. but like I have all these Beanie Babies.
That's so
I
funny.
Never collected Beanie Babies, but I have them just from as gifts from Hef. But all Mary is trying to do is to tell him that there was too much stuff to fit in the heart-shaped boxes. And his whole thing is, well, then just get a bigger box. But I know as somebody who like loves decorating mm-hmm. and party planning and gift giving and stuff, it's not like they just have those boxes in every size possible.
Yeah,
that probably was the biggest size possible.
Yeah.
And so they know that they can't just go get the next size up mm-hmm. to fit all this stuff. But Hef thinks that anything is possible and yeah. it's just out there and all, and you just didn't buy the big enough one. In my head anyway, that's
totally.
What's going on. And you just get a bigger box.
Yeah.
It's not that simple. Not if you want like the heart-shaped yeah. box and to do this whole display like you do every single year. Mm-hmm. This is the size of the box. So mm-hmm. how are we going to make it work?
Yeah.
Could they get a totally different box? Yeah. Or could you just take what Mary's trying to say, just take some of the jewelry out of the actual Playboy packaging? But he's so, he can't understand that and you cannot tell him that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to the person who commented and said I needed to sit down and explain things to him.
Watch this
You're
scene.
You're getting the tiniest taste in this scene. This is just a 1%
yeah, and
of the attitude I would have got.
When she tries to say it, he's like, no. No. He just cuts her off.
Yeah, no.
Like,
nope, no.
Get a bigger box.
Yeah.
Well, get a bigger box. And it's just like, okay, fine.
Yeah. And then they cut back to your room and you're having a cute convo with Winnie about
Gizzy. I'm scolding her because she gets this like look, like you can tell she gets this like look. And I know when she's going to go after Gizmo because she gets all like a lot of times they just coexist, no problem.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, Winnie gets like this little spunk and she's
going
to go after her. And I'm like, don't you do it. I see you looking at her. And then they do this graphic where like what Winnie's thinking is that she wants Gizmo to get run over by a car. So it's funny, but
yeah.
it's so mean.
I love how cartoony it is, though.
Yeah. And then it got me thinking, they are so rude to Gizmo in this whole series. Like, if she were
Justice
a person
for Gizmo.
Yeah, if she were a person, like, she would be in therapy to this day.
She's totally like, Lucifer from Cinderella.
Yes.
That's what she is in their
but
minds.
But it made me wonder, do you think that they hated cats, like the editors or Kevin or something, because it is insane how much people hate cats. I mean, it's insane.
I don't trust those people.
Yeah, but I mean, it is like half the population, and they don't just, oh, I don't really care for cats. It's not that.
Yeah.
They hate cats. Like, I'll see, like, a comment where a cat, like, bats a kid on the head. Like, that a kid's, like, pestering a cat, mm-hmm. and the cat, like, swats at him. The comments about, like, I would skin that thing alive. That'd be the last thing that cat ever did. Like, people are just like, but if a dog were to, like, jump on a kid and knock him over. Oh, ha, 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 that's so funny. That's so cute. That's so blah, blah, blah. And I'm not talking about a cat, like, swiping and leaving blood. I'm talking about a cat just, you know.
Pawing.
Yeah, pawing and stuff. People hate cats so bad.
That's weird. I don't know if that was the case with Kevin. He didn't have any pets. So right. I could not vouch for him being a dog person or anything. No pets. But I think in Kevin is just such a early 60s TV person. Like, that's how his mind is formed.
Yeah.
And in his mind, animals have value as cartoon characters, I think. Like, he doesn't have any pets personally, doesn't want to take care of them, doesn't want that. But on TV, they're great as cartoon characters. And that's just kind of the cat stereotype, is that the cat in cartoons is always kind of grumpy, kind of, even if the cat's like the good guy or whatever, he's not really the good guy because he's always chasing the mouse, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's more what it is. Maybe I'd be surprised, because I just didn't realize how many actual cat haters there were.
It's bad.
Ooh, I don't like that.
I definitely think you're 100% right that it was more the cartoon character thing, but I feel like maybe it's not Kevin, but I feel like maybe the editors.
Well, you never know, because there were some producers with sinister agendas, as we found out.
Right.
like the lady who kept memes of us on her cubicle.
Yes.
I'm going to send her a meme.
I know. I know. Anyway, it was just a thought that I had. I was like, oh, it was just like watching that and seeing the runover scene. I mean, it's funny. I'm not taking it all personal or whatever. But then it just like dawned on me, wait, for somebody to like think about that, the cat is or the dog is thinking for the cat to actually get run over.
I think it's more just like Tom and Jerry style type gags.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, I'm not trying to make this into a huge thing. No. But I'm just saying.
But I think there is something there. I think it's like Kevin loves animals as cartoon characters.
Yeah.
So I come in wearing a neck brace.
And do you see...
AKA my sweater.
Wait, what? And do you see what I'm working on? I'm working on my Mardi Gras costume. Like, I'm gluing the stars on or sewing the stars on, whatever.
Which you haven't got yet in the chronology of this.
Right.
And I'm announcing that Hef wants to play dominoes in a few minutes. So it must have been Tuesday night game night.
Yes. And I feel like you look like you're saying it to me in a way where...
He's impatient.
Well, I feel like you're saying it kind of like on eggshells a little bit, like, oh, I'm just the messenger, don't kill me.
There's something odd about the way I'm saying it, and I feel like part of it, too, is like you would have known when game night was and what the time was. I didn't really need to go in and tell you. I think that was for the show.
But we talk about it in commentary. There was a time frame. Like, I love playing games, mm-hmm. but there was a time frame where Hef was so addicted to dominoes.
Mexican train specifically.
Yes. And he was like adamant that we're in this scene too, we're here complaining about how tired we are. You can't even get your Mardi Gras costume together because there's so much going on. And Hess insisting that we play dominoes. So it's not like we can even be like, oh, we're really tired or we have to get our costumes ready for the Mardi Gras party and we have a lot to do still. He would not hear of it. Well, you can do, you have all day. You can do that another time. He was so adamant about playing dominoes that for a while we got really burned out. Like all of us were like, ugh. And I feel like that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. Well, for me, it bothered me because that game was so simple that my mind was starting to turn into a puddle. And I feel like Hef has so much going on during the day business-wise and so much going on that's mentally stimulating. For him to relax and play like a mind-numbing game ad infinitum is probably fine, but I could have used a little more mental stimulation in my time at the mansion. Even though I am starting to work at the studio around this time, still, I always like wanted more and more and more, and I just would have liked Clue or something, you know? Just, it was like he very much got fixated on Mexican Train for a moment, and it could only be Mexican Train for a long time.
Yes. Yes. And then we did try to play Clue because I also love Clue. Of course I love Clue. But he was such a stickler on the rules and being like so weird about it and like to the point of like getting upset with people.
Oh, I got screamed at.
Me too.
Because I didn't keep score cumulatively.
I got yelled at because I was playing Miss Scarlet, and one of the things I do when I play the game is I pretend like I am the character. So I was like, yeah. Okay, so I did it in the ballroom with the knife or whatever. And I was like, what do you mean you did it? You're not a character in the game. I'm like, I know, but I'm Miss Scarlet, so I did it. And he's like, you're not Miss Scarlet. Miss Scarlet did it. And I said, yeah, but I am Miss Scarlet. Oh, I am playing Miss Scarlet. Well, you're just playing Miss Scarlet. You're not Miss Scarlet.
Oh, my
no,
God.
Right. I know. So Miss Scarlet did it. Say it right if you're going to play it. And like just like Jesus. Totally berated, scolding. And I just thought, okay, this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even want to play this anymore. Like
I know. It gets rude.
It's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Really? Really?
It's too much.
And I still do it to this day. I did it in the ballroom with the knife or whatever.
That seems normal.
Yeah, because I just think it's fun. Like, I'm the
character.
I feel
like that's the normal way to play, to the point where, like, it used to annoy me as a kid that there weren't more female characters. Because I'm like, well, Miss Peacock and Miss Scarlet are taken, so who am I supposed to be?
You got
to
be Professor Plum now.
Yeah, I know. And then I'm asking you what you're going to get for Valentine's Day, which I feel like I must be asking for the show because we would have been a little more prepared than that.
Yeah.
And I say I haven't had time to get anything for him, which again must be me being dramatic for the show because there's no way I'd be that unprepared. And we're both saying how exhausted we are, which looks kind of ridiculous to the viewer because I think they're thinking, okay, what are these spoiled bonbon eaters so tired about? But we were legitimately in a very, very busy period in our lives just with normal stuff and filming the show. And I was already working at the studio full time at this point, which I don't think the viewer knows. I don't know when the next episode is where I'm like, okay, I'm actually here full time. Yeah. But I was almost instantly from after doing Tamara's. So,
yeah. So, and I tell you how I'm going to bake a cake for all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's going to say, like, I love you, Hef, and all of our names, like on the smaller ones and stuff. And in commentary, we're talking about how much we were. Love that cake, and we wanted it again.
Was it cherry chip?
It wasn't the cherry chip. Oh. It was Valentine's Funfetti.
Mm. So is this the first time we've seen Domino's on the show? Is this the first time we've seen our game night? Because I know we've talked on the podcast about playing Domino's and stuff, but I don't know if that was just us talking about our normal routine or if we've seen Domino's on the show before.
I can't recall if we've seen it before. I mean, definitely we've been playing it every night for a long time. This isn't like just an out of the blue thing that we're doing. This was
definitely... Bridget, we only played it once a week. Why are you saying we played it every night? You're clearly lying.
Did I just say every night?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I meant every week.
We can't slip.
I know. I meant we played it every week. It wasn't like this is like an out of the blue moment where all of a sudden we're just playing a game for no reason. Like this was definitely part of the schedule. But whether or not it was on camera before, I'm not sure.
I just had the goofiest thought of like, just like the mental gymnastics you have to do to make sure that you're clarifying every exaggeration or people are going to pick it apart. I should just release a fucking bibliography with every podcast, a fact checking.
At the end.
This is what we really meant.
Fact check. Bridget said we played games every night. In fact, it was only once a week.
Yeah. I'm kidding, guys. I know my sense of humor doesn't come across, but I'm kidding.
So you're talking about how hard it is to buy presents for Hef, which we've talked about, I think, for Christmas and birthdays. Yeah. And like all the time we talk about that. And you say you have some ideas, but you haven't had time to do anything. Do you remember what you got him?
I don't. I'm sure it was a picture or something.
I felt like it was interesting to note that this is kind of the first time that we're kind of showing that the schedule is getting to us a little bit. Like, we've just been go, 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 go. And this is, I feel like, the first time where you're kind of seeing where things are catching up a little bit. Like, we're not able to stay fully in control as we usually are, like, doing our outfits from start to finish and having them, you know, exactly the way we want them and having time to shop for Valentine's Day and, like, have everything the way we usually did. I just feel like it's interesting. So we cut to the dining room and have shuffling the dominoes and he would get so excited, like he was into this.
Yeah, and I noticed we're 4 minutes into the episode, which sounds like nothing because it's only 4 minutes. But keep in mind, this is a 22-minute episode, so it's like a full almost sixth or fifth of the show. And we're only just now seeing Kendra.
I noticed that too. I noticed that too, but they are going to make up for that. Because
they do later.
It's only about her practically and her family the whole second half of the episode.
Yeah, and it didn't, like, occur to me that she was gone up until we see her. And then I'm like, whoa, it's been a minute. And yeah. I know that, I know that sounds so stupid because it's only 4 minutes, but it is a big chunk of the show. It's not usually how it's done. And I think it's just testament to how uninvolved she wanted to be in anything.
Well, not only that, but she's in this scene because she has to be. But we go on from here with the next two major scenes, and she's not involved in mm-hmm. them at all. And then it isn't until, like, three more scenes from now where she's involved, but only because it's another group activity.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just seeing her on her own at all until literally, like, almost halfway through the episode. At mm-hmm. least, like, 9 or 10 minutes in.
You know what's interesting about this whole episode, and maybe this is more relevant to the second half when we get to it, but when I was doing my YouTube rewatch, there was one episode that's coming up later. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want to see if you spot it. There's an episode later where I was doing the rewatch and I went on and I was like, this episode feels different to me. There's something about this episode that isn't like the other episodes. Something about it is off. And in the comments, somebody said, I used to watch this show when I was a little kid religiously, and when this episode came on, I knew it was the beginning of the end. And it's not the episode you would think either. Like, it's a little bit earlier on than you would think a beginning of the end episode. But as I was watching this, I'm like, this one has a little bit of a feel of beginning of the end in some ways too. It's very, very subtle.
Yes.
But like you said, we're getting really busy. We're getting too busy to almost do the normal things. And also, I know we've been talking about, like, Kendra splitting off back to season 1, episode 3. Like, she wants to go to the back of the bus and, like, do her own thing or whatever. But this episode, and even though we've talked about, like, oh, she wouldn't come downstairs for the snow at first and stuff like that. But this is, I'm seeing it on a different level in this episode.
Me too.
It's like, okay, she's been pulling away and probably making it known to Kevin behind the scenes that she doesn't want to do the show anymore. Or, like, maybe her agent doesn't want her to do it or something. And then this episode, I'm kind of seeing, okay, the first half, which is Valentine's Day, is mostly all Holly and Bridget. We're going to give Kendra the second half because it's Mardi Gras. It's the party one, not the romantic one, not the holiday one. And it just seems like they're almost not totally giving up, but a little bit giving up and being like, well, let's just lean into letting her do our own thing.
Yeah.
Which There's is a- in the end is like setting her up for like the first spinoff.
Yes.
Not that, and I know technically yours was the first spinoff, but I think the one that was planned first was hers.
Yeah. No, I definitely saw lots of signs of that in here. And even when she's playing dominoes here, if you really watch, there's scenes where they add in where she's laughing, we're all laughing and stuff like that to make it look like we're having this really great time and everything, which we did have fun playing dominoes. Yeah. But if you look like when like Hef's like shuffling and stuff, she is just like not deadpan and like looks like she just woke up and does not want to be there kind of thing. Like it, I say on here, it looks like Kendra is totally checked out on this. And then in an interview, I say playing dominoes with Hef and the other girls is fun because it's a lot of quality time we just spend together. And that was true. Like when you're sitting around playing a game, you can talk about like what you're up to and what's going on and stuff. Not that we don't see each other all the time, but like, or know what our schedules are, but like little things like of what's up with people. Like for instance, Kendra mentions it's in commentary, but this is the type of thing that we would pick. We would find out playing dominoes or whatever is that her mom got a dog.
And then the next scene is us setting up a date for Duke and Wednesday. And this is a very cute scene. Maybe I'm biased because it's our dogs. But it's also a testament to how, like, this show got away with doing a lot of scenes that, like, just wouldn't fly on TV anymore. Like, now everything has to be so high drama and so plot-driven. And we were able to get away with just doing, like, tonight we're playing dominoes. And there's a lot of that in this episode specifically because it's like, tonight we're playing dominoes and it's just us playing dominoes. There's not much more to it than that. We're taking Duke and Wednesday on a date and it's just like, that's all it is. There's no deeper meaning to it. Yeah, it fits into the Valentine's theme, but that's, and I feel like there's something else in this episode too I'm forgetting about, but there's like three moments where you're like, you couldn't just do a scene like that on TV today. And I'm glad we got to do it. And like, I think it's very cute and charming.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you wouldn't be able to do it now because it's not dramatic enough.
Yeah.
And Hef comes downstairs cackling when we're setting up for this. And this is the second time. It's almost like the snowboard episode where he comes downstairs and he seems high because he is just cackling it up.
This is right down his alley though. Like pets and themed Valentine's and like doing this whole putting them on a romantic carriage ride or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like he just, I mean, he's just giddy about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he eats this stuff up for real.
I'm wearing this weird Victoria's Secret shirt dress. And it's not one of my favorite outfits I've ever worn on the show by any means. But I was talking about it in my YouTube rewatch and somebody reminded me that I had donated it to like a charity auction.
Oh.
So thanks for the reminder. I love putting the puzzle pieces together.
So I think I'm wearing the Playboy sweater, the Valentine sweater with the red. It's like cream and it has like the red hearts and red bunnies on it. It's cute.
And we're putting the golf cart to good use, using it as a visual to do a sunset carriage ride around the block for Winnie and Duke. Do they still do the Central Park carriage rides? Because I know there was some controversy related to the horses.
Yeah.
Did you know Elaine Heff's photographer used to be a
not till you just said that person? I mean yes I knew but I had forgotten until you just said that and then it like was like
yeah
yes
she used to be one of those carriage drivers and she said at the end of the night they would race the horses down the street back to the stables.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was researching that a little bit. I don't know. I know there was like crazy videos of like a horse collapsing, like
dying and somebody whipping it in the middle of the street.
Yeah. Yeah. So there were like definitely some stories back a while ago, but they definitely still do it. And when I was researching it for my trip to New York and everything, they were talking about like feeding them and petting them and like brushing them, like doing all these things that you can do with the horses and stuff. And it sounded really sweet. So I don't know. And like they were even like talking about their horse, like the different companies talking about their horses and their names, and like it sounded kind of like family members. So I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Did you ever read Freakonomics?
No.
My favorite chapter in Freakonomics, I feel like this is my Roman Empire. I think about it so regularly. Is there's a chapter on how in the 19th century, obviously nobody had a car. Everybody was getting around via horse, whether it was a horse pulling a carriage or just riding a horse. And there were so many horses in New York City that it would just be unimaginable by today's standards, the horse shit that was in the streets. And the fact that like if a horse got injured, you'd just have to kill it right then and there. And like traffic would be blocked and you'd have to wait for somebody to come get the horse.
Oh my God.
And just like how different things were back then. And they were also making a point of how there was so much horse shit. It was like detrimental to the environment and that the automobile coming along is actually like an improvement compared to that. And kind of the theme of the story or the moral of the story was like, just when things are about to get real bad, like human intervention comes through or human innovation comes through and saves the day. But they had a picture to illustrate in this chapter, and it's one of the streets in New York just covered in horse shit. And of course, it's not a color photo. It looks like it snowed.
Wow.
And I'm so fascinated by it that I may or may not have gone to that street in New York in real life just to see like what it looks like without the horse shit and like take a picture so I know and like
Oh my god.
Like I don't know why I'm so fixated on that, but it's fascinating to me.
I was curious. Like I think obviously I like the carriage ride thing cuz it's our dogs and stuff, but I thought it was a little slow and like a little like could have been much shorter scene. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of a long scene for what it was. And I was curious, like, how does stuff like this make it in there, but not like racing the cruising coolers or 50s night or like probably a million other things that I could come up with if I thought about it.
I mean, it must have just been that it's so on theme for Valentine's Day and they're looking for anything, because also, why dominoes? Like, I know it kind of says, okay, we're a happy family, but we've established that so many times on the show.
Yeah.
So, like, why is Domino's in here? Or is it just like, oh, shit, we don't have Kendra for the whole first half. We need to find something generic they all did together.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for Domino's, you wouldn't have her in the first half of the scene at all.
And you know what's interesting about that Domino's is nobody else joins us. Mm-hmm. Usually, like, some of the girl, like, one or two people would come, Crystal.
Yeah.
Whoever from the other house would come over, and they made it just us that night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. But I just thought, yeah, it was kind of weird that this was such a long scene and that it made it into the show, but other things don't make it in. Another note I wanted to add on this is that they didn't fully get the close-ups that they wanted because they were following us, but they didn't get, like, so they got all the establishing shots and everything, but they didn't get close-ups on the dog's faces, so they redid the scene. So if you watch it, it's Lauren sitting there holding the dogs.
Oh, my God.
And it's she's wearing a t-shirt, like,
interesting.
And it's not me holding them with the sweater. So if you watch it, yeah, you can see when I'm holding them, I'm wearing the sweater. When Lauren, she's a producer, was holding them, she's wearing like a t-shirt. I don't know, it looks like a rock and roll t-shirt or something like that.
Yeah, I think they like the visual of the golf cart too, and just seeing the golf cart again after the birthday and seeing how it like gets
used around.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so then the next scene, I'm in the kitchen with Crystal, and we are baking cakes, and this is very, very rare because mm-hmm. I have scheduled kitchen time, which is hard to do. An interview, I say, for Valentine's Day, I baked a couple of cakes, and that is my Valentine's gift to Hef and the girls as well. It wasn't the only thing. Like, you see me in the very beginning making those champagne glasses mm-hmm. with, like, a bunch of stuff in them, like Play-Doh and things like that. And then I think you're going to see it a little bit later in the Great Hall. I loved getting those blow-up things, too.
Yeah.
So I had a big blow-up. The first time I got them was a giant bear, and then it got lost. So then I got another one, and it was like the conversation mm-hmm. hearts. But I loved those things. Crystal grabs the spatula, and she's about to – and I give her a look, and I say, don't you dare. She's about to lick the spatula, and just so you guys know, like, I don't have a problem, like, licking the spatulas or the bowls mm-hmm. or your fingers or whatever while baking the cake. But you can't lick the spatula and then use it still.
Yeah, which totally.
Is what she wanted to do. Oh, I was like, don't you dare. And I told her, I have rules. And then I'm like, did you even wash your hands? She just gives me a crazy look, and then she goes to open the sprinkles, and they just, like, fly everywhere.
Oh, no.
And then it looks, and she's like, whoops. And then it shows Rudy in the kitchen, and it looks like he's, like, totally giving us a dirty look.
I
like,
know.
Fuck.
Just a gasp.
This is exactly why we don't let those girls in the kitchen, is the look he's giving us.
So funny.
But Rudy is, like, such a funny and happy guy. Like, there's no way he was, like, even cared
that
about
that. That is so funny.
And then it shows me pouring the batter into the little heart-shaped spring pans. And honestly, it was so hard to find stuff like that back in those days. I was surprised I even had the heart-shaped pans.
Well, even the pink kitchenware, I feel like all that stuff was a lot less common than it is these days.
Yeah, I had the heart-shaped mm-hmm. measuring cups. I still have those. And I had heart-shaped measuring teaspoons and tablespoons. And then I had the pink. And you could tell if they're mine because later they're boxed up and on the dining room table to give back to me.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, they didn't keep them in the kitchen.
And the cakes turned out really good. Like, they look very profesh.
Yeah. And they're on that big board. Yeah. And it's all wrapped in the foil. Yeah, I just love it because it's something that I still do to this day. It's something that I love doing. And it's something that I really couldn't show that part of my personality mm-hmm. or one of my hobbies really on the show because we didn't really get to use the kitchen.
Yeah.
So to be able to do that and I thought it was cool. And then it obviously cuts to later because I'm frosting the cakes mm-hmm. and looks like Lori's helping me. And yeah, an interview, I say, I think they turned out awesome.
Yes.
They were so good.
So good.
Yeah.
So we will get back to you guys.
It's been an hour already?
Over, yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
I mean, probably an hour once I get done with the edit. But
yeah.
We've been talking for well over an hour.
All right.
So we will see you guys next time. Be sure to check out our Patreon for more content at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.